abroad. There were some who admired the way this new Germany stood up for herself.
In America, we've had many reports against your new government, and in most cases, this has caused hasty demonstrations everywhere. I can now say to you that the American people today realize that these stories are untrue and without foundation. I find that there's a new, fresh vitality here in Germany under your great leader and Chancellor Adolf Hitler, of whom I'm a great admirer. The new Germany will live, for you have the best centralized government in the world today.
Hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen. But it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go.
Well, good evening, everyone. You're listening to On Frequency with Keith Rogers here in Western Montana. Join us in the chat room at onfrequencyradio.chattango.com. Tonight we have Kenneth in the control room to answer your calls and put you on air if you'd like to share your views and or opinions. Today is Sunday, January 6th of 2019, and we have a guest tonight who we've had on the show before, Ian Schilling, and I'd like to welcome Ian to the show here tonight. First of all, I want to start out here with some good news, as that probably the only good news I have, is that I got a new puppy. His name is Loki, and he's a little lab crosshair, and I'll post a photo of the of this cute puppy dog of him in the chat room there. My daughter found him on Craigslist there in Missoula, and he was free, which I couldn't afford anything else. So anyway, he's got a great personality. He's not as bright as Milo, but yet, hey, you know what it is when you raise a dog for years like that, that the dog will grow on you. So anyway, with that, Ian, are you there, young man?
I am here. Hi, Kate.
Yeah, welcome back there, young man. We, you know, you and I have been talking for I don't know how long now. And I always like to get everyone's view from across the pond, because I know that our media is so different than UK media. But then when you start looking at it, it's all propaganda.
It's all the same lies. They might put a slightly different spin on it. It's still the same lies.
So we were discussing briefly here this integrity initiative.
Yeah.
And to me, it's just another big slant. There's only one comment I saw on the page here, and of course, it was Russia, Russia, Russia. You know, this is just a, you know, I feel sorry for all the unemployed youth in America and Britain and other Western states, because those like Theresa May, even Trump and those, they're going to walk these countries into another war.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're just escalating the tensions. With Russia, aren't they? They're constantly up in the tension. And eventually, it's gonna break, isn't it? And there's going to be something stupid that happens, and there will be a war. I mean, if they don't stop it. And then, you know, what's the end result of a war with a nuclear power of Russia? There's only one end result of a war like that. Then, you know.
Well, yeah, and I'm a firm believer that this is all a massive distraction from the failing U.S. and Western banking system, or yes, fiat banking system.
And the debt, yes. It's all going to collapse at some point, and they're preparing. They're trying to blame somebody else for it, aren't they? It is going to collapse. There's far too much debt. There's no real economy. It's all banks and financial stuff. There is the middle class is declining. The living standards of the middle 70% or whatever are all declining, aren't they? I mean, the top 1% are doing all right. The top 1%. I mean, if you're on $1 million a year or more, you're fine. You know, you've been making more money, and especially if you're a billionaire, you've been making loads, haven't you? Right? And the people that are at the bottom end, right at the bottom, who claim in welfare, then their living standards haven't really changed. But it's the middle class people, the people that are earning sort of $50,000 a year or something around that, you know, 30 to 80. They're the people that have seen their living standards be getting squeezed all the time for the last 30 years.
Yeah. So, I was going to say, Ian, you know, well, sometime this last week, I sent out a email to a lot of the people that I know on Twitter and everything like that. So I've got quite a list there. But, you know, it was in a retort, I guess you call it, to Donald Trump's continual China is taking advantage of us. And in that, anyone can research this of the American companies that are in China. And it's, the list is a partial list, which is only about 1%. And it, I think it's about 4 pages long of AT&T, all these Verizon. Anyway, but the crux behind that is that, like Britain and others, these big corporations have fired millions of American and other workers and sent those jobs to China to make and or distribute their products over there and then to ship them back here. And in the meantime, those millions of civilians in the Western states have lost their apartments, their homes, their vehicles, their credit scores. And, of course, with a credit score hit, then your insurance rates go up. I mean, this is corporate fascism.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, the thing to counteract all this wealth disappearing out to China, and the American companies and the European companies building factories in China, is to put some sort of penalties on exporting the capital, because that's the real problem. What you really want is the capital to stay in America and build American factories or American infrastructure or whatever, but spent in America, don't you? You don't want the tens of billions going to China to build chip factories and car factories in China or Apple iPhone factories. you've got to be a bit pragmatic about what could be made in America, because, you know, there's no point in trying to compete with Vietnamese on $2 a day, is it? But I mean, high tech stuff, you know, development stuff. You know, I mean, you could still have the designers in America, can't you, to making the cars? You can have the higher wage stuff. You could still have the programmers, you know, computer programmers and the technical designers that, you know, design cars or parts for cars or design engines or whatever. That could all stay in America, isn't it? Because, I mean, if these, you know, highly skilled people, they're not much cheaper in China. And by the time you then pay all the overheads of having your subsidiary working in a foreign country in a foreign language, America can compete with that. Right? It can't compete with the $2 a day jobs in Vietnam shoveling shit in a factory, can it?
It's not even $2 a day.
With that, do you? Because you don't want a load more American jobs that pay $3 an hour, do you? We don't want that. We want jobs that pay $15 and $25 an hour, don't you?
Well, yeah, that's the premise of this. I've said this before on Twitter. There, where back in the 70s, my first job was $2.65 an hour, but we had full union support back then that actually cared about the rights of workers, in which the employers paid for our health care, dental, sick leave, time and a half, all this. And, of course, now it's all outsourced. And so whenever you hear about any of these countries, even the UK, talking about jobs and job growth, it's always in service-related jobs, those that don't pay any benefits. So what do you do for big corporations that control everything? Well, you flood the country with illegal immigrants, just as Americans and others are demanding a higher wage to be able to support themselves.
Yeah, and of course that'll lower the wages. I mean, the more people you've got competing for jobs, and the cost of something always goes down if there's more of it, doesn't it? It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter whether it's human labour or gold bars or coal or oil. It doesn't matter what it is. If there's more of it, the price goes down. It gets suppressed, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So if there's a surplus of human labour in America because they just flooded illegal immigrants, and they'll do all the cheap, you know, $10.
Yeah, I had a show here with Jim Fetzer there on Thursday on the Raw Deal, and it was only because I had heard him, Ian, there talking on another show, and where he referenced, and it wasn't anything against him or like that, but I sent him a correctional email, I guess you'd call it, as a courtesy. But they keep using this Syrian refugee as a title. And, of course, we find out that these, in fact, are not Syrian refugees, but they're being flooded from all over Africa and stuff. And, of course, these are not skilled workers.
Yeah.
They're welfare recipients.
No, they don't even speak the language.
Right.
They're not skilled in anything marketable in a European context. They're not computer programmers or software designers or, you know, car designers or, what? Or, you know, marketing people. They're not skilled people, and they can't speak the language, so they have to be subsidized by the rest of the people. Either their kids have to be educated at the cost of other taxpayers, or they get welfare payments that the rest of the population has to pay for. They cost. They don't contribute to the wealth of the country. They drain it.
Yeah, and like I think it was on Zero Hedge today, was talking about the three major car manufacturers, GM, Chevy, and Ford, I think it was, or it may have been Chrysler. But anyway, the fact is their sales in each one of these have slumped so much. And this is because it's almost like if you hire all these illegal immigrants or you start putting these kiosks in all these businesses or robots, you're firing a worker, which then in turn has no money to buy anything, let alone support his family. So they go on these social programs. And, of course, Ian, this is the whole premise. As long as you're living off the hand that feeds you, you won't bite it. And that's the premise behind this socialism, yes. Communism, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, yes, exactly. I mean, the government then can control those people, can't they? They can't rebel against the government because otherwise the government will cut off their benefits. Right? They'll be destitute, won't they?
Yeah, and vote fraud is so rampant, it's pathetic. You know, like right now over here in the States here, we're talking about how the Democrats are trying to flood the red states to change the electoral vote. And, of course, this means once those voters, whether they're illegal or not, once they vote, they will join the rest of millions of Americans that are living in tent cities, starving. They'll be kicked to the curb.
Yeah. Yeah, there'll be. I mean, well, there's tent cities in San Francisco now, isn't there? And there's poo on the streets. They got a poo problem, a human poo problem on the streets of San Francisco because people are living in tents and haven't got any toilet facilities, haven't they?
I thought that was predominant just to, because of the fact it was located close to the Twitter headquarters.
It's because the cost of living in San Francisco is so high. The cost of renting a place is so high. Even people with good jobs, like, you know, a junior computer software programmer, you know, in any other country, they could easily go and rent a two-bedroom apartment or something. You know, you're not talking luxury, but you're talking about, you know, decent standard of living. You've got a two-bedroom apartment that you sleep in, and you've got room for your friend to come over, you know, every month, once a month, you invite a friend. You know, I mean, that's reasonable if you're 23 or 24, isn't it? But they can't afford that in San Francisco because the rent's double what they can afford.
And let alone having to repay a student loan.
Yeah, and all that sort of stuff, yeah.
I mean, the whole system is broken, and yet this is what bothers me, like in the fact to say is with Israel. All this foreign aid, whether it's to Honduras, to Israel, to all these other countries, if they stop for a moment and stop sending those billions of dollars, then say Trump could get his wall, but we could also...
The foreign aid is a drop in the ocean. I mean, the federal budget is 3.6 trillion or maybe even 4 trillion now. So you're talking about $10 billion for foreign aid. You know, it's tiny. Right? Mm-hmm. They've just upped the military budget by 70 billion overnight. Yeah, they just signed that away. 70 billion. How much could you spend? If that was spent properly in America, how many jobs would that 70 billion create? You know, how many roads could get repaired, bridges repaired, whatever else needs to be repaired and rebuilt in America with its crumbling infrastructure. I mean, you could employ tens of thousands of construction workers with $70 billion for 10 years, couldn't you?
Right? Yeah, that's like when a...
That would be a much better use of the thing. And build something that's going to create wealth, whatever right. that is. Whether you know, you could build more hydroelectric power or something that's economically viable, not bloody solar power, solar panels in the roofs in bloody Pittsburgh that don't get any bloody sun. Right? But I mean, building a solar panel field in the Californian desert next to a city, that might be reasonable.
Well, there's another problem with that, though, Ian. And it's like I was going to say, 10 months before Trump was even elected there, I had called the Trump Towers here, and I submitted this basically an outline of how to solve our massive flooding that we get up here through the northwest here when we get our big, I'll say, fall rains, heavy winters, and then the massive snow melts in the spring, is to divert the Missouri River down through portions of South Dakota and into the headwaters of the Colorado River, thus refill the Hoover Dam area.
Oh, yeah, that then waters Las Vegas. That got a huge water crisis coming up, yeah.
Yeah, but see, that's because millions of illegal immigrants have moved into California, which is zapping the power consumption down there, which means that the Hoover Dam or Boulder Dam has to produce more electricity. And the it's just like the so-called free energy hoax, you know. You cannot supply something that that takes something else. So the only way to do that is to have a reserve. So that massive runoff, which caused, what was it, $4 billion worth of flooding as they opened up that dam up by the Canadian and Montana, North Dakota line.
Yeah, the dam was about to collapse, wasn't it? It was about to disintegrate. So they diverted a load of water around it, didn't they?
Yeah, and then what they did in turn is all that water flooded those cities and towns to Roundup and all down through the Missouri area. It went into those farm fields. It took all those pesticides and chemicals and put them back into the Missouri River and back into the Mississippi River, which it drains into. And then it goes out into the Gulf of Mexico and causes this massive algae bloom and the massive fish die off. And this, I mean, this government at work. Yeah. Or not at work, you know. It's like right now with
the worst possible solution. Yeah,
the government's in shutdown right now. It's like I haven't noticed a change. Have you?
No.
But anyway, you know, the economy continues to decline there, and regardless of what those in government are saying, you know, it seems like the stock markets, the banks, they're loaning money to the big corporations to rebuy those stocks which people are selling. And they're not giving loans to people that have equity in their homes, need to refinance their debt or any of that stuff. And, of course, then those, you'll find out that have homes, say a home is worth, say, $200,000, they have it mortgaged out to two or three times twice what that is, and they cannot afford those payments.
Yeah, well, that's what happened in the 2007 housing bubble, wasn't it? They did all these subprime loans to people who could never afford it. They did teaser rates. They did teaser rates of about 2%. And then after a couple of years, then the rate reverts to a realistic rate. And what was the realistic rate? 8%! Yeah. So I could just about pay it at 2%, and now my mortgage payment has gone up four times.
Yeah.
Can't afford that.
Anyway, Ian, I had a question for you because of our media situation between the lies and stuff like that. But what does the people in England, are they pro-Brexit or are they anti-Brexit?
Oh, well, it's 50-50. It's very close. But the people that own all the media in the UK are all remain in the EU. All but 80 or 90% of the media in the UK is remain in the EU. It's all owned by oligarchs, globalist oligarchs.
Yeah, and it's just New World Order.
Murdoch in the UK is against it, so his outlets are to leave.
Right? Okay. All right. Well, hang on a second there, Ian. My break's coming up here. Anyway, we're talking with Ian Schilling over there in Britain right now. You're listening to On Frequency Radio with Keith Rogers here in Western Montana. We'll be right back after this break. The call-in number is 1-800-313-9443, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Double talk is all you get, and you wanna...
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Thing that you want to know, turn to talk radio, anytime at all, anywhere you go, it's on talk radio.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to On Frequency with Keith Rogers here on Republic Broadcasting Network. We're currently talking with Ian Schilling over there in the UK there, and we're kind of discussing here about this the way society itself is going. Actually, we're going to talk about while we're in the break here, but we were discussing here about how our societies are being destroyed. And of course, this is through either the LGBT agenda here. I had sent this image where it says, Brave New World, gay man impregnates transgendered partner partner who identifies as a male. I mean, this is a crap that they're normalizing. They're doing it through the movies, the theaters, TV commercials, where you don't see a proud white or a proud black family. They're all intermixed and like that. There's another tweet that was earlier this morning here about a man was accused of having raped a goat, but the man claims that he asked the goat's permission first. This is the destruction of our society. And I get tired of hearing the word they, because we have to start naming names to show how or who is behind it. Just like all this immigration. I've brought this out on Jim Fetzer's show here that the Zionists who proudly say that immigration is number one on their agenda. Of course, remember, the Jews have their nice walls, Jewish-only highways and stuff. They're the ones that have this little fortitude. And in the meantime, they're the ones that are proud to say that transgenderism is a Jewish imperative and stuff. These are the ones that are destroying our countries, our societies, the cultures themselves. And as Ian mentioned, when, say, I wanted to go over to France or to Germany or something like that and look at the rich culture of those countries, it's going to be so intermixed as this Brave New World stuff that there's no reason to even traveling those countries because they're not what they used to be. There's no rich culture.
Well, would you agree with that? Destroy the culture, and they are destroying it. It takes a long time, but they're destroying it, aren't they? That's their agenda, to destroy the culture. The there's 30 different countries in Europe, or however many, and each one has got its own identity. And the Spanish are different to the Germans, or are different to the Greeks, or are different to the French, or are different to the Brits. But they all, they all contributed something to the general thing, you know. So, all the Brits brought French cheese, don't they? Because French cheese is good, right? And we buy German cars. So we need German cars. Whatever. But they are trying to destroy each country. And that's why the European Union is attacking Hungary so much, because Orbán in Hungary says, no, we're not having all this bloody multiculturalism and all these immigrants from North Africa and whatever. This is a Catholic country and we're going to keep it Catholic. This has been a Catholic country for 1,000 years, it has. We fought the Muslims. They were at our bloody gates, they were, 500 years ago, and we fought them off.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me of the...
A load of bloody immigration now, and we're not going to lose our Hungarian culture.
Yeah, you know, Ian, that reminds me of why they compare Donald Trump to Hitler so much, is because Hitler, as noted, he was against all this. Well, back then they didn't call it LGBTQ, but he was against that agenda. He was really harsh on the immigrant problem that they had, who was behind it. And also the fact of, like, the German youth camps and stuff, the pride in the Aryan race. Well, see, they don't want Americans to be proud, Germans to be proud, or anything else. They want this blended society. And this is what just, I mean, I don't know why anyone would accept that, because there is no diversity, and actually what they're claiming is diversity.
Well, then it just becomes a bland, amorphous mass, and there is no identity and there's no culture. That's right. What they want. That's what all these UN directives about increasing migration are about. They've just passed the law in December the 8th or something. They all signed a law, 170 countries, to increase migration into Europe, mainly into Europe. But they said every country has got to pay the welfare benefits of anybody who turns up on their doorstep. So yeah, they're illegal immigrants. But if illegal immigrants turn up in your country, you've got to be legally obliged to give them welfare payments and free education and free healthcare and whatever.
And now they're passing laws.
Does that encourage more migration from North Africa and the Middle East, or does it dissuade it? Well, I'm living in bloody poverty over here. My family's bloody starving, and you're going to give me free food?
Well, that's not
rocket science, is it?
Ian, it does not make sense here, because when you look at, I mean, anyone can generally do a search and find out what poverty in England is, poverty in the United States or Germany or Sweden seems to be the worst one that is allowing all these immigrants and this agenda they're pushing there. But when you already have millions of your own home people starving and living in tents and stuff, why would you invite someone else to come in? And that antiwar.com post from the UN said that in 2016, the UN claimed that out of three countries, over 60 million had immigrated already. 60 million. They omitted the fact that there was countries that were being bombed by Western states. Anyway, I got my bottom of the hour break here, Ian, so hang on one more time here. We've got a 3-minute break, and we'll be right back here. But 1-800-313-9443, so stay tuned, folks.
is all you get. And you wanna.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
If you want to vent your frustrations, you got some things that you need to say. There's a place where people always listen. Go on, dial it up today. Talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Radio.
All right, everyone, welcome back to On Frequency with Keith Rogers, and we're currently talking with Ian Schilling over there in the UK there. So during the break here, I wanted to talk to Ian and have him explain to us the actual deceit in the UK government, which is not unlike any other government, but what actually is going on under Theresa May, and if he could explain it to the listeners here, because it's a globalist agenda that we see everywhere. So, Ian, it's your floor, young man.
Okay, thanks, Keith. But we'll take it back from the beginning to what happened in 2016 when David Cameron agreed to hold a referendum purely because his own party was split down the middle, whether they wanted to leave or to remain. So he said, we're going to have a referendum. Now, David Cameron is a globalist, okay? He's a New World Order globalist, one world government throughout throughout the globe, and no democracy. All the power is with the oligarchs and the really wealthy people, and the little people have no say whatsoever. That's David Cameron. Theresa May is exactly the same. She's a globalist. She works for the banks and the oligarchs and whatever else. So the globalists never thought they could possibly lose this referendum because they had all the money and had all the media and all the propaganda and all the BBC and the whatever papers, all spewing lies about Brexit would be a disaster and whatever. See? It was Project, it's called Project Fear. All 80-odd percent of the media in the UK did Project Fear and say, oh, it'd be an absolute disaster if you leave the EU. Why would it be a disaster? Well, because of the trade. The UK buys more from the EU than the EU buys from the UK. So how are we in peril over this when the German car makers won't be able to sell us their cars anymore? And the French won't be able to sell us their cheese and whatever else that we buy from Europe. So they need the UK more than we need them. We contribute to the European economy by tens of billions a year. Okay? So we should be in the driving seat because we own the checks. We're paying checks to Germany and France and wherever else, and Poland and every other country.
Ian, on that thought, though, under May and everything, the firing of thousands of police, the destruction of your NHS system there. Now, is this also going to suffer under this Brexit?
Brexit's not going to affect that. And they might do scare stories about it, but Brexit doesn't have any effect on that. They want chaos on the streets. They want more crime. That's why they've cut the police.
They want more crime.
They want more criminals. They want more people being stabbed. That's ridiculous.
Right, and the same thing with this, to divert from what the government's doing, we have all this massive anti-Russia propaganda.
Oh, yeah. Let's go back to the Brexit. So they never expected to lose the referendum. So it's a real shock to them when they did. So then they changed Prime Minister. David Cameron resigned and said, I'm not going to try and sort this out. This is going to be a total mess. I'm not going to sort this out. So Theresa May got installed as Prime Minister without being elected. But she's a globalist and she wanted to stay in the EU, right? So she hired a team in the background in number 10 Downing Street, unelected bureaucrats that just sabotaged whatever prospects there were for a decent deal. They right. capitulated to every whim that the EU demanded, and then they ran out the clock, right? The idea was they had 2 years, more than 2 years, to sort out a deal, right? When the referendum result was announced, they had 2.5 years to sort out a deal, right, and do a decent deal. They didn't want to do a decent deal. They wasted all of that time until now, over 2 years later, 2.5 years later it is now, nearly, and there's no decent deal on the table. What they wanted to do was run down the clock and then present the British public with two or three horrendous choices, right? And what Theresa May's deal does is Theresa May's deal is a never leave the EU deal, okay? Because
right.
We can only legally leave the EU if the EU agree to it out of the goodness of their heart. How much goodness of the heart do you think the EU bureaucrats have got?
Well, you're speaking about that drunk Juncker.
Juncker, yeah. He got absolutely zero goodness of heart and morality and whatever.
Yeah.
So basically, if Theresa May's deal goes on, we are then slaves to the EU. We can never leave, and then the EU can pass whatever laws that they like that discriminate right. against the UK. Right? So they can pass laws that favour Germany's trade and disfavours UK trade.
Of course.
So they can do all of this stuff. They can put burdens on the UK and whatever to destroy us. They can pick and choose, whatever. They've got carte blanche. There's 27 countries left in the EU, and they say, oh, what are we going to come up with to screw the UK now? Because there's absolutely nothing they can do to stop us.
Right, and then and then you've had a lot of resignations in, over there too. And I've read some of the comments about or from those. I can't recall their names and stuff because I'm not that familiar with British politics there. But this is a general assumption. There is that this whole thing has been a stall, and they, I don't know if it's because of they have to represent their constituents, realize that they're going to take a loss politically if they back what Theresa May is doing.
Well, yeah, yeah. It's the only reason they resigned is because. saving their own political skin.
And then the other thing I mentioned earlier.
The people who resigned, they all had slightly different ways of talking about it, but Boris Johnson and three or four others all said the same thing. Well, this deal means that we're actually in it because we'll be slaves. We can't ever leave. They can't legally leave. And we're subject to whatever laws, future laws, the EU comes up with. And they could screw us right, left and centre, and there's nothing we can do about it. We haven't even got an input into the negotiations.
Yeah, that's what bothers me, because it's just like here in America, I'm concerned when you watch the United States dropping out of the World Trade Organization, NAFTA, Human Rights Organization, the P5+1, threatens to arrest the ICC court judges. Does this sound like a rogue government? And this is what they're all pushing for, and this is that New World Order BS.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know what is going on with all that, because it's all very confusing. Trump is not an educated man. Trump is not educated. He's not knowledgeable about world affairs. He actually boasted that he doesn't bother reading anything.
Did you see that Twitter post earlier that showed Trump talking about how he knew this, he knew that?
He doesn't know anything about global affairs, geopolitics, trade. I mean, he's got gut instincts, right? And mostly his gut instincts are good. His gut instinct was the Iraq war is a bloody disaster. Let's get out of it, wasn't it? That was, you know, years ago. And don't get involved in 2012. He was saying, don't get involved in Syria, wasn't he? And don't go and bomb Libya and stuff like that. So his gut instincts are generally correct. But then he goes and hires a bunch of neocon nutjobs like John Bolton and Mike Pompeo, doesn't he? I mean, what else? How is that going to help get him out of the, Syrian war or Iraq war or whatever else? It's not.
That reminds me of Trump talking about how pulling U.S. soldiers out of Syria and then saying that Israel can defend itself, and then saying he didn't care what Iran did in Syria. And now all this has changed.
Yeah. Now they're trying to delay it indefinitely, aren't they? Bolton's just announced, we're not going to leave until we can ensure that the Kurds are safe. When was the last time you cared about any other race that was being safe? Okay, well, look at what you did to bloody Libya. You bombed the hell out of it and murdered loads of people. Oh, yeah, but we really care about the Kurds.
I've been doing that to Secretary Pompeo and to that other idiot there because, what's his name? Jacob Wool had made that tweet earlier. I've got it here later on the show here for a show note there. But these are the same guys that now are talking about the poor Kurds, whereas the U.S. or the CIA gave Saddam the chemical weapons back then, which allowed Saddam to gas over 5,000 Kurds to their death.
Yeah.
plus a million Iranians to death, in which Kissinger at the time says, I hope they kill each other.
I know. This is what they really think about the Kurds, yes. Oh, yeah, Saddam's going to gas hundreds of thousands of Kurds. Oh, well, how much gas does he want?
Well, the other crux of that, though, is if you know, is that Israel is getting its fine, rich crude from the Kurds, and that's the main premise of this whole thing.
Well, the Israelis are buying the Kurds' oil of northern Iraq, and ISIS was shipping their oil through the Kurdish area of Iraq into Turkey, and then Turkey was selling it to Israel. It was Erdogan's family. Erdogan's family, his son or his son-in-law, was the CEO of a big shipping company with oil tankers. And he was shipping oil that was sourced from ISIS, went through Iraqi Kurdistan into Turkey and then out of Sayan or whatever big port there is. And then they were having, you know, big oil tankers, 400,000 barrel oil tankers, and shipping it to Israel. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, to me, it's all just a big distraction. And, of course, we know the main reason is because, like Wolf Blitzer and even Donald Trump said with Khashoggi being butchered, is that the jobs in the arms industry means more than human life to all these governments.
Yeah. It's psychopathic. The American foreign policy is psychopath. It's pure psychopath. Yeah, we're gonna murder hundreds of thousands of people so that Boeing and Lockheed Martin and Raytheon and General Dynamics can make big profits.
Yeah,
that's American foreign policy, and it has been ever since they invaded Afghanistan.
Yeah, and you know, as an American though, and also as trying to be as much of a Christian that I can in my life, I cannot see having a job to where I would go work 9 to 5 building bombs, which would kill people. That goes against my conscience.
Yeah, well, I mean, they call them the defense industries. There's nothing defensive about bombing people in Yemen but earn $1 a day with bloody $50,000 bombs, is that? What's defensive about that?
And likewise, the premise, as I've mentioned too on this show before, where the tomahawks were launched at Syria for an alleged chemical attack in which Donald Trump said the poor children. And then just a week later, the Saudis bombed that school bus. And then at the same time, we have domestically here Planned Parenthood that kills 800 babies a day. And it's like, well, what about all those poor children?
Well, it's all hypocrisy. It's total hypocrisy. They don't care. The people who run these companies, like the major CEOs, like the CEO of Lockheed Martin, or the bankers, or the top people in the US government, they couldn't care less about any human life. As long as it's not their class, right? If anybody in the Washington political class or the bankers in New York got killed, that would be an absolute outcry, wouldn't it? But it doesn't matter how many poor Americans die because they're not getting proper, haven't got access to proper medicine. They can't afford medical care, or they can't afford decent food. So, you know, their health deteriorates.
Right.
So it's just people the Americans have murdered over 3 million people in the Middle East since they started invading Afghanistan. 3 million people have died in Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Libya, Pakistan, wherever. 3 million. Right. But there's a heck of a lot of Americans that also died because they wasted $7 trillion on bombing people, isn't there? I mean, if that's $7 trillion, it's actually $5 trillion something now. But, I mean, they've still got to pay all the medical costs of all the veterans that fought in those wars and whatever. So it's already, you know, even if they stop tomorrow, it's already $7 trillion. What could they have done in America with $7 trillion? Right? This is $60,000 or $70,000 for each family, for each household in America. Okay?
Yeah, I just cannot believe that people would sit back and watch their tax dollars go do that, and then at the same time watch their own people starve and live in cardboard boxes. And
can you imagine? So it's now, what is it, 17 years since the war started? But they could give each household in America $60,000. That's the equivalent of it. Right, so divide it by 16 years or whatever. That's $4,000 a year they could have given each household, and they could have done whatever they wanted with it.
Right. Just
every year that is, right? So they, you know, buying cars, buying fridges, buying electronic stuff, buying TVs, whatever. But it would all go, all create jobs in the American economy, or most of it would. I mean, they still import stuff, from China and whatever, but you still got to have people in the store selling it, haven't you? And you still got to have truck drivers delivering it stuff, haven't you?
Right. Yeah, well, that's just it, see. The whole world exists on trade or commerce. And since they've outsourced all the U.S. jobs, all these products and stuff, and this, Jim Fetcher and I got into this on the last show here, that, you know, with Israel's rising trade within the electronics field and security and everything like that, its ties with ZTE in China, which is based with the military over there, China's new identification system that's being used in Venezuela to track people and stuff. This, to me, is just more of this communist takeover stuff. But you know.
I think that the Israeli aim to take over and become dominant in the electronics industry, this sort of electronics industry, the spying industry and whatever else. I'm talking about making fridges or, you know, phones.
All right.
I'm talking about spying here.
All right, well, my break coming up here for the top. Well, no, we still got 10 more minutes for that here, but stay tuned there, Ian. I don't know how long you can stay with us here, but we'll be right back after this commercial here, so stay tuned. 1-800-313-9443.
Double talk is all you get. And you wanna...
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to On Frequency with Keith Rogers here. The call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. And we're currently talking with Ian Schilling over there in the UK there. And we were kind of discussing here during our break here more about this, the divergence of where Israel is bypassing U.S. sanctions and dealing with China and other countries that the United States has sanctions on. And also, Israel is selling massive arms to places where the United States has arms embargoes on. And it's just that Israel gets a free ride to do whatever it wants. Just as with Bolton's recent statement here that the United States will be in Syria as long as it takes to secure Israel's security. I mean, the list goes on and on. It's Israel, Israel. Then you have oaths of...
Israel is definitely the number one security threat to America. It's not bloody Russia, and it's not Iran, it's not Syria, it's bloody Israel. Yep. Israel is selling technology... is stealing technology from America, weapon systems and stuff like that. You know, the F-35 plane, okay? The amount of software that's in an F-35 plane to fly it and the guidance controls and the missile firing and whatever else, they're stealing all that technology that was developed in America, aren't they? Yeah. They've got F-35 planes and they're going to get the software that goes with it. And then they're going to sell that to China.
Well, here's another one. Somebody. Yeah, I mean, what gets me, Ian, is I read these, well, I read all over, Turkey's news, all stuff. With translators nowadays, you can just basically read about anyone's news that you want. But in the Israeli papers, I notice how they like to brag. Like the $700 million that U.S. Congress supplied for the Israeli Iron Dome system, and then an additional $225 million, whereas Israel admits that they're reselling that Iron Dome system needed for their security to the tune of $3 billion already.
I don't think it even works. I think it's a con. I don't think that actually works. But they are selling technology that does work to countries like China, who are a main geopolitical rival to the United States, aren't they?
And also China's releasing all these massive drones that can outfly. I mean, the same thing, the supersonic missiles from China and Russia and all stuff. The U.S. is getting set up, I believe, to get hit.
Well, it's the U.S. has got its priorities totally wrong. Totally wrong. Right? It's got 11 U.S. carrier fleets that cost an absolute fortune to keep going, and it cost $50 billion a pop to build. And that's not good at all. Right? China and Russia aren't building multiple aircraft carriers. Right? China's got two. Okay, it's gonna have one station in Djibouti, isn't it, to look after its interests in Africa, right, or next to Saudi Arabia. Okay, so that's one it needs. It needs
and just as the United States
from the Middle East, because that's where it gets a lot of its oil from Saudi Arabia and Kuwait or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, Ian, and just as the United States basically says that they're not going to be based there in Israel, then, of course, the Chinese move in there, and they're building a subport for the Chinese.
Well, yeah. There's a port, somewhere where the Americans have dropped their warships for ages, and now the Chinese are not.
Yeah, all right. Hey, my top of the hour break here is here another 3 minutes here, Ian, so stand by here, and we'll be right back here, okay? 1-800-313-9443.
Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio. Talk radio. The truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat.
Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.